This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Unlimited.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, March 10th. The Fantasy Footballers back with you. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway.
I would like it on the record.
Okay. Hold on. Get the stenographer.
Yes, please. I strongly considered it's birthday time in to celebrate the life and the rotations around the son of Al Borland.
Right.
Because at the time of this recording, it is actually his birthday.
Yeah.
But the moment the listeners are hearing this, it is not his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Now he's just an old man.
I just want him to know that I acknowledge your birthday, but you do not get it's birthday time because the show is not releasing on your birthday.
In case you were confused, Al. Yeah.
I appreciate you. I got a shout out on a really huge podcast, so I appreciate it.
Mm. Which podcast?
Welcome into the show. Obviously, a lot happening around the NFL right now, especially with the quarterback position. So we're going to talk about all the fallout of some blockbuster trades. A reminder, today, if you're listening to this on Thursday, March 10th, this is the final chance to get in on the Listener League giveaway at ultimatedraftkit.com. So pre-orders, the UDK itself launches June 1st. The Dynasty Pass is available now, which is part of the UDK Plus. But if you get the UDK before the end of day today, you will also be entered to win a Listener League spot to play with us. And, of course, you'll get it at the lowest possible price. So head over there at ultimatedraftkit.com. Instagram question comes in. It's producer related, so I'm surprised we don't filter those out. But it says, with the wide array of nicknames for your producers, I'm not entirely sure how many there are. Can you give us a rundown?
There are 22 producers here.
We have, it's funny, I have heard this quite a bit, actually. The biggest thing that I have heard that is inaccurate is that there is but one with two nicknames.
Yes.
So some believe that Brooks, a la Judge Giamatti, is also Al Borland. And I am here today, the day after the birth of a one Al Borland, to formally let you know there are two of them back there.
Yeah, so you have Owl Borland, who is Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And so those are the two main producers. And then we brought on the Borgogan, as we refer to him. The editor-in-chief sometimes is his nickname. Kyle Borgognoni,
which you can see by the last name, that's why we have changed it.
That's right.
We have some difficulty with it.
So Brooks was the OG producer. We call him Judge Giamatti. We've had segments on the show where he has been the judge and settled debates for us.
Fantasy Court.
And Al Borland is kind of, I mean, he's a jack of all trades. He's great.
Master of none.
Yes. At the production side of things.
Great with all the tech stuff.
Yeah. But he gets Al Borland because Al Borland was very capable on the old Home Improvement show of doing repairs and things, and he's done a lot of that
well,
stuff.
Well, that
for
was
us.
Al Borland, and then on yeah, the Spitballers,
became,
it changed
it
to Al.
It just became Al. I don't know why.
Yeah, and here, if you would like to follow our producers on Twitter, you can follow Brooks at Brooks Carmine. You can follow Owl at Producer Borland and Kyle at Kyle underscore Borg. Am I right on those three?
Yep.
Amazing.
And Kyle will be coming soon to a microphone near you.
Now, okay, so then this is we'll a question see. Here. You filter his response for me, Jeremy. Was Kyle Borg taken? Like, you needed the underscore? That was not available?
He's typing.
Oh, well, God, no, I said filter the response.
I was looking for a response. He said okay. There are other Kyle Borgs.
Okay.
It's okay. A really popular name.
Yeah, right. I imagine he had plenty of Star Trek jokes in his early days.
Yeah, that's true. Twitter, resistance is futile.
Twitter, the at the FF Ballers.
Hot start today, fellas. Yeah,
well, and every day. And every day. Today is more of a...
unlimited.
An unlimited day. I forgot that there's a graphic on on the YouTube for that. Audio
unlimited.
Why did we give him those eyebrows?
He's got just ferocious eyebrows.
Yeah, the quarterback carousel has been insane the last few days. It's a lot
really
of fun.
Fun.
Let's just get right into it.
Let's do it.
Russell Wilson was traded. So that sentence was unbelievable. The Broncos have acquired Russell Wilson in a fourth rounder. They traded away Drew Lock, Noah Fant, defensive tackle Shelby Harris, two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a fifth-round pick.
So it's hefty in terms of draft picks. Really, I don't know that there's an actual price you can put on a Hall of Fame caliber franchise quarterback who still has multiple years left of his career.
He's 33. The Seahawks have been his home his entire career. Obviously, the Super Bowl championship went to another one.
That time that he totally lost one.
Let me ask you a question. If you had, so they got just two firsts, right? And two seconds.
Yeah.
If you used all four of those picks on quarterbacks, what are your odds of getting a Russell Wilson?
Very low.
Very, very low.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Russell Wilson, I think... will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is. I think he gets another Super Bowl. This is a great team for him, and I think the Denver Broncos are going to allow Russell Wilson to cook, to open it up, to show how good he is. Obviously, he was terrible at the end of last year. The question becomes: is he falling off, or was that the injured hand? I believe it to be the injured hand.
There was. Before you get into your adoration, because I know where you're heading with Russell Wilson to Denver, and we're going to talk about, I want to talk about all the fantasy implications. But before that, before the hand, there was a period that I'll call the overcooked Russell Wilson. The back half of the previous year, he also had a slowdown. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Where DK Metcalf came out on fire and the team was throwing the ball a ton, and then interceptions started to happen. So, it's easy to say let Russ cook, almost in the way that it was like let a running back with a high yards per carry on limited touches start to run. Lamar Miller or CJ Spiller or some of these guys. But you don't know what they are in that capacity till you let them do it for a season. So first, do you expect Denver to move? How far does the pendulum swing in terms of passing volume for Russell Wilson? And then what's the fallout here? Who are the big winners in Denver?
Yeah, the biggest winners in Denver are the pass catchers, right? You've got Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick, but the main two, Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, go from someone that I really don't even want to draft. I don't want to have to roster these guys and deal with Drew Lock or whoever the mediocre quarterback is trying to get him the ball based on the wide receiver's talent, blah, 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 to now these are fellas that I think are going to have great seasons. I mean, Russ is going to throw for 30 touchdowns, and you divide those up among those receivers. Noah Fant exits in this trade, so it gives a little bit of clarity to the pecking order. So I think that there's a lot of fantasy value to be had. As far as the pass run thing, I don't think that this is a team that's great at running the ball. Javonte Williams, they might bring back Melvin Gordon still. We'll have to wait and see. I don't think that they're going to just say, oh, we're going to pass it nonstop, which is good for Russ.
Nathaniel Hackett, over the past two seasons as an OC in Green Bay, top 10 in neutral pass rate.
Yeah, so I mean, the reality is,
I would be too with Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and I sure, think he but, will be too with Russell Wilson.
But now you have
Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
whereas
no,
the Seahawks over the last decade, they've really wanted to be a defense and run the ball team that allows Russ to kind of play mop-up duty and finish the games. And so for fantasy purposes, I believe Russell Wilson is in for a very big fantasy year.
Top five?
Yeah, I think that's in the cards. We'll stat all these players out on every team once free agency and the draft is over and see where he lands. I'm certainly not calling him guaranteeing top five right now, but hopefully the last part of last year, you know, I think we, but I know I was saying trade for Russell Wilson in Dynasty because, I think that there's brighter, greener pastures ahead, and I'm very sad that
these pastures are bright. These pastures are green. They're filled with passes.
Yeah.
They're pastures.
They're pastures.
Neon green.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
So, obviously, if you were holding Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, I mean, this is make or break for Jeudy in terms of fantasy value because you have everything you need and you should see the leap, right? There are some questions to be answered from Jerry Jeudy.
For sure.
Because it's one thing to be super athletic and have the draft capital. It's another thing to perform on the field. One thing we've seen from Tim Patrick is as little fanfare as he gets, quarterbacks seem to like him.
He doesn't drop passes.
Quarterbacks seem to love him. And Albert Aguebanon is going to have an opportunity to be a red zone force with Russell Wilson, something we've seen before. I'd go pick him up in a dynasty league if you thought you could.
Sure, for cheap. But the sentiment I'm seeing on Twitter is people are like, I've seen more excitement for Albert O, personally. It could just be anecdotally, but Albert O, I've seen more excitement for him than the other actual wide receivers on this team. I think the pendulum is swinging way too far for what he will be in this offense.
Yeah, you could be right. I think part of the problem, maybe not problem, part of the challenge is identifying who you really think is going to be worth what pick. Because it's not like you're not going to have value there. They're going to be very impactful. And I would put them Sutton, Jeudy, Patrick.
I would as well.
When you combine what I think the depth chart looks like with opportunity, upside, ceiling.
Talent.
The ceiling for Jeudy is much higher than Patrick. But if we went out there and Tim Patrick had more total receptions than Jerry Jeudy and the same amount of touchdowns, I wouldn't be shocked just based on how the offense goes.
You know, one thing that's interesting about this trade, the Denver Broncos are a franchise that is trying to sell. They're like on the market right now to sell the franchise. So this trade makes
as a team, not
yes,
players.
As a team, the franchise itself is basically available for purchase. So if you're looking to, get into an NFL team, if you're out there.
Kickstarter going here?
Yeah, we should get a Kickstarter. I would love to own the Denver Broncos.
So if you're interested in a team with a great quarterback, they're for sale. If you were looking for draft picks, they're not as attractive.
That's what's so funny is the current ownership doesn't really care about the future, right? They care if we lost a lot of picks in the future. Not my problem. We're better Super Bowl contenders now. The value goes up.
It's really hard to argue with the recipe right now in the NFL. The recipe for Tom Brady in the Buccaneers, they win a championship. They go all in on veterans and, Brady, obviously. Then you follow that up with the Rams, who have been doing this for years, selling future assets to pick up the Von Miller and Matthew Stafford in the offseason. And the Broncos have already used the recipe. It was Peyton Manning. I mean, they went out.
Right.
And they got the elder statesman quarterback, and obviously Russ is younger than Manning was when he arrived. But this is – it'll bring us into some other discussions I want to have about quarterbacks. I got to flip it to the other side because there are kind of There's a lot to talk about for Seattle.
Where there is happiness on one side, there is much sadness on the other.
Shout out to our intern.
Yeah, and look, Jerry Jeudy had the ride already. He had one sad tweet when Aaron Rodgers signed a deal with the Packers, something to talk about, and then happiness when Russ arrived. There are tweets unsent from Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf right now. They've written them, but they know better, they right? Their agent,
they got that Twitter blue.
Yeah, they got the 10 seconds to untweet, but they don't feel confident here. This is not a trade for Drew Lock. This is a trade that included Drew Lock. So you look at the long-term implications. You have a quick reaction. You're not going to have Russ there, but there are rumors. There's discussion. This is not a team that's going to sit on their hands. They did let Bobby Wagner go. It could be full rebuild, but if they can, you know, is it Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, Watson is the biggest question mark here, which if you haven't seen the news, Deshaun Watson has a grand jury case on Friday. Am I saying that correctly?
I believe there is a grand jury on Friday with a possible indictment to come.
Right. So if there will, everyone will be on Deshaun Watson watch on Friday because this could be massive implications for either a positive future or a negative future for Deshaun Watson in the NFL. They have Seattle has a ton of picks. They could potentially flip those. If Deshaun Watson is cleared and back on an NFL field, Seattle could go after him. But other than that, there's also the rumors swirling around of Tyler Lockett is available if somebody wants to come trade for him. I would imagine they don't trade Lockett yet until they know the future of someone like Watson, because that's just an instant you're still a contending team. It could be a full teardown to the nubs.
Jason, go ahead.
You know, if you look at what the franchise did the last time they needed a quarterback, which hasn't been a while thanks to Russ, they went out and they signed Matt Flynn. And then they drafted, you know, they took kind of a little bit more of a shotgun approach, and they got lucky with drafting Russell Wilson, him being great, and then they made that move. So, you know, the fact that they got Drew Lock, he is there. They got the number 9 pick. So in this year's quarterback draft class, it's potential that they could have the number 1 quarterback, the quarterback of their pick, that no one in the top 8 picks selects a quarterback. So I think you could see a shotgun approach here if the Deshaun Watson, every single team we're talking about, that needs quarterback, the Deshaun Watson thing is going to be true for all of them. But that is, you know, probably not the outcome for, you know, that teams can bank on.
I also just don't know if I believe that the oldest NFL head coach in Pete Carroll has the stones for a rebuild.
Oh, he gone.
Well, he ain't gone now.
No, he's not. But talk to me next year.
I mean, but his interest is my point. He's the coach. He has an interest in the roster. If he's got a year left, why is he trading away a franchise quarterback? It makes me believe that this team will still be aggressive. It's just a matter of what that's going to mean. And if you have DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, you are in a holding pattern. You're not going to go sell them in a dynasty league for pennies on the dollar.
Correct.
It's not like Metcalf didn't have big games with Geno Smith last year. And
they could bring Geno back. Like, Geno is currently a free agent.
You should never have said it with that much of a positive count.
It was too positive.
Try it again.
They might bring Geno back.
Okay, tell me more.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was right on the head.
That was perfect.
Well, let me ask you this.
Geno or Drew Lock?
Yes,
what you're going
to
say?
That is exactly what I'm going to ask. If you got DK Metcalf, you're hoping they bring Geno back.
Yeah, you are.
So it's not Drew Lock.
Drew Lock is there to be one specific role, which is the Matt Flynn for this roster, so that they can draft their Russell Wilson and hopefully never play him.
I'm guessing that was like in Denver insisted. They're like, we're going to put Drew Lock in this trade. They're like, well, we're going to look elsewhere for a quarterback. We don't really need him. Yeah, but we're going to send him.
Yeah, you're taking him. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I think that it's worth, you know, it is a hold. You're not selling DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett because you're getting nothing for them. But alternatively, if you don't have them and you're in a dynasty league, it might be worth kicking the tires to see if the manager is freaking out. You know, if you've got Gabe Davis who's the hotness and could become the number two, and you can flip him for Tyler Lockett or something like that, I would be willing to try to buy for pennies on the dollar. Again, for cheap, I am pretty much in a redraft league until the quarterback clarity happens, and I don't think it will happen for Seattle. I'm not going to be really in on DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett with a mediocre quarterback.
There's also, at least from what I've seen from minds around the team, it's not an easy path to trade Tyler Lockett after that extension. I mean, he's going to be a very significant cap hit. I don't know if it'll happen yet.
Sure.
So I wouldn't bet on it, I guess.
Yeah, but Tyler Lockett's 29. He's still under contract for a few years. But, yeah, I don't know how it would work out where his dead cap hit right now would be 31. So I would imagine Seattle would take on some dead cap even if they trade him away.
It just seems really hard to imagine that. I've heard maybe 2 years away when he's a $14 million cap hit. So that's the big, big, big trade that took place and changes the landscape. You look at the AFC West. Derek Carr is sitting on the bottom of the quarterback pecking order with, he had the buffer, the Drew Lock buffer from the bottom of the division. Right. And now Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. Oof. These quarterbacks will be giving us the gift of squaring off against each other multiple times a year.
That's part of the fantasy greatness here is that you've got six games a year,
Russ to have to keep up with those guys.
Exactly. And those guys to keep up with Russ. It's going to be fantastic for fantasy. And as Arizona Cardinal fans, heck yeah, man. Let's not have the NFC West be the best division. Let's have the AFC West.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. And the bigger news that broke first was that Aaron Rodgers is staying with the Packers. Whether this was what you expected or not, the official nature of it, it changed a lot. You wonder if the Broncos were holding out here to pull the trigger on this trade that they had negotiated. Seems like they were.
Oh, yeah. He was the domino they were waiting for. It was like Nathaniel Hackett and that team. I think they were hoping they were in the running as soon as it came out that Aaron Rodgers was staying in Green Bay. It's like, okay, let's go. Let's go, 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 go.
And so Rodgers, the contract terms are not confirmed yet as of this recording. It was originally reported to be a 4-year, $200 million deal. But he came out and tweeted, yes, I'm back with the Packers. The contract's not signed. Because, of course.
Yeah, if you read the Aaron Rodgers tweet, it's the quote of, as are the supposed terms of the contract, I quote, signed. So do we have another immunized situation going on? Because he's like, I haven't actually signed it.
Oh, maybe he autographed them?
Or no, he's just, or they just have agreed to it, and he hasn't actually physically signed the piece of paper yet.
But we're
waiting for the real terms to come out.
He'll be back.
Official terms.
Devontae Adams is back, franchise tagged. Chris Godwin, franchise tagged. Mike Gesicki, Dolphins tight end, back on the franchise tag, as is Dalton Schultz, tight end for the Cowboys, who looks poised to maybe be the secret biggest beneficiary of Amari Cooper departing. Everyone's going to talk about CeeDee Lamb, and maybe they bring back I know Gallup's coming
Cedric
back.
Cedric Wilson.
But Cedric Wilson could come back.
Last I had seen on Cedric Wilson is they'll be priced out.
I think they love Dalton Schultz. I really do.
He's a solid player.
And so I think he will have a great opportunity for fantasy relevance again. Rodgers back with the Packers. Another trade broke yesterday. Carson Wentz, acquired by the Washington Commanders. And this trade, the Colts, they got a decent amount for Carson Wentz.
For a player that they did not want on their team, I think they did okay.
Yeah, for a team that they weren't even very good at veiling that they didn't want on their team. Like, there was not a really good sense of, like,
nobody,
we want him around.
I respect it.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody thought that the Colts liked Carson Wentz. Like, not, and I mean they even just liked him. They did not. They wanted him out of town as soon as possible, and they did a great job. They were able to get rid of him. Now, their current quarterback situation is worse. They are going to be an active, you know, sometimes there are teams out there who their quarterback situation is bad and you just know it's going to be bad. This is a team where they're going to be aggressive. They have a winning franchise, a good roster, and they need that quarterback. So right now, the quarterbacks that are available, you can either trade for like a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, define being aggressive in the current landscape of the market now, because a lot of dominoes have fallen, and being aggressive means what?
Being aggressive means trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's that's what it means. I mean, you could try to go after Kirk Cousins. I don't think they would do that, and I don't think Minnesota is looking for that. In free agency, you're talking about Mitchell Trubisky. That was my prediction, was that he would end up in the Colts. Mariota's Winston.
Out there.
So it's not great. There is not a perfect answer, but Jimmy Garoppolo does make a lot of sense here for a team that wants someone who can come in and win games and be a good leader. And I think they're going to put leadership near the top of their importance based on having just had Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult when you look at what they've faced the last 5 years. I don't know if you can dig up that tweet that outlaid the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh,
but it's been
a different one every year.
It's been a different one for five. This will be the sixth consecutive year. So you had Andrew Luck, you had Jacoby Brissett, you had Phillip Rivers, you had Carson Wentz. There's another one
Scott
or two.
Scott Tolzien.
Yeah. So, and then this year is going to be a brand new quarterback. So, yeah, it's. I don't know who you're going to find. I agree with you. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is somebody that can protect the football maybe better than Carson Wentz. Maybe make some better decisions or function within the offense that Frank Reich puts into place.
Garoppolo did a great job handing the ball off for the San Francisco 49ers. I think he can give that ball to Jonathan Taylor really well. I think he'll do it
right in the box.
Just exactly where he needs that ball.
Yeah, he did a good job throwing the ball to Deebo Samuel. So maybe, you know, you land to him and Michael Pittman. Hopes and dreams are still there, because right now we had some debate in the office. You can say whatever you want about the season, good, bad, or ugly for Carson Wentz. I think it was all three. 27 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. Should have been in the playoffs. Fell on his face against Jacksonville. That is a sting that clearly ran right into the offseason.
If he wins that Jacksonville game, he is with this team.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, I agree.
And so the flip side now.
Yes, Washington.
The Manders. Terry McLaurin. Is this good news for Terry McLaurin? One of my things to remember leaving last season was that mediocre quarterbacks are not the answer for fantasy value of the receivers. There's going to be a lot of hope, a lot of hype, a lot of good narratives written. But, you know, in the end, when they're not a great quarterback, they're not really going to move the needle. He is an upgrade, though, over Taylor Heineke.
But you're right, not by much. And teams are tripping over themselves to get mediocrity. And I guess I was going to ask that question from a 10,000-foot view for you. Would you ever be that team? Would you ever go middling quarterback solution at the NFL level when you know it never works?
Yeah.
You never, ever succeed with that.
Yeah, well, it just depends on what the definition of succeed is.
Because the Colts last year.
Yeah, if you're talking about win a Super Bowl, Derek Carr is not going to win a Super Bowl. You know, these Kirk Cousins is not going to win a Super Bowl. But if you're saying I can be a really relevant franchise that can try to win the division, make the playoffs, make some noise, have some good years of football, I would try to get a quarterback like that could do that. And when you've got a good defense like the Commanders can have. It kind of fell off last year.
It did, yeah.
They were an inch away from the division, from making the playoffs over the Eagles last year. So Carson Wentz is a big upgrade here, even if he is never going to be a Super Bowl answer here for the Commanders.
What's worse, trading away Russell Wilson or trading for Carson Wentz?
What's worse is trading away Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
There's not many Russell Wilsons.
I agree. I think it is. Both are bad, in my opinion. Like trading away.
Unlimited.
There's only one. Russ.
The hard part about trading for Carson Wentz is it delays you finding your answer at quarterback even more. Where, like, Seattle is now actively looking for the future. Carson Wentz is just, he's another stopgap for Washington.
It feels, that's a great point. And it feels exactly like Carolina's decision last year.
Right.
Where it delayed the future one mm-hmm. more year for Carolina when you tried to solve your problem with Sam Darnold. Carson Wentz will not solve the problem. And yes, you were close to winning the division, but your division was really bad.
Yeah, and I think for fantasy, I think Terry McLaurin's going to be more of what he was, a very good wide receiver with some good fantasy games, not a dominant, awesome, he takes that leap up, very similar to that same comp, what you saw in DJ Moore last year. Had some good games, finished as a decent wide receiver on the season, but was a disappointment. I think that's what you're going to have for fantasy, here.
So as an NFL franchise, if you were Denver last year and you were staring down the Teddy Bridgewater decision, or Washington this year, would you rather trade for the stopgap because of your draft positioning, right? Not every team has a top five pick, top 10 pick to go grab the quarterback you want. Or would you spend the first round, late round? I mean, I can think of Buffalo with EJ Manuel in the late first. That didn't work out. So would you rather spend that first round pick on the shot?
Yeah, I would always. I would.
And
I
give
would,
them the starting job on day one.
I would rather take the veteran over the late first rookie.
Okay.
I think it puts Washington can win right now. So getting Carson Wentz. They clearly think he's enough of an upgrade over Taylor Heineke that they can potentially make a playoff push. But it with their draft position and the way that the quarterbacks are currently talked about in the draft, like we're still far enough away from the draft that two teams could trade up into the top three for these guys. But
I think some will.
Washington's positioned to draft one of the big three quarterbacks in the first and still have Carson Wentz play. While that quarterback learns, but you don't have the pressure of trading up for Trey Lance, where it's every single week is, why is your number three overall pick not playing quarterback? If you take a quarterback in the teens, people get it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You can do both. Try to do both. Is Carson Wentz he could be the second best quarterback in the division.
Could be. No, definitely not. I'd much rather have Jalen Hurts as my quarterback.
Okay. There are quarterbacks falling off the options list for Pittsburgh, Carolina, Seattle. So I will be curious to see the market for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And the Jimmy Garoppolo trade market. I think if you are San Francisco, you're doing it right. Wait until Jimmy seems a little bit shinier in this free agent landscape and the dreams of the Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson fades away. I would imagine the Watson situation works itself out before Jimmy G gets traded.
Yeah, the Watson situation is the most important one for the rest of the dominoes to fall. Trubisky, there's been a lot of buzz that he might go to New York to compete for the starting job, and that's the connection to Brian Daboll, who just came from Buffalo. Right. Where Trubisky was,
Surprised me.
I have the same thought. I've heard it enough times from enough reliable sources that I think there is, real fire to the smoke there that he could go. But when I heard that, I was like, I think you can go out and get a starting job. Yes. Why sign where you've got to compete for one? If you could be the starter for the Colts versus try to be the starter for the Giants, do that.
Yep.
The Steelers, who are desperate for a quarterback, the rumors have been all along that they prefer to do it through the draft, so they might be happy right now.
I think they will.
A team like Washington, who has been mock drafted a quarterback in every first round that I've seen, now it's like, oh, great, one fewer team to compete that's trying to get a first-round quarterback.
I don't think there's anything that's going to give me more joy than Mason Rudolph believing he's competing for a starting job when no one else around him thinks he is. Right? Like, everybody's going to know that the rookie's going to start.
Sure you are, Mason.
Keep working at it. So, yeah, I think the draft does look like the likely situation for Pittsburgh. It might be the likely situation for Carolina as well. We shall see. Mike Williams, we just had our free agency prediction show. We were all pretty sure he was going back on at least a franchise tag.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to get the bag.
3-year, $60 million contract.
Good for you.
You can't paint a better picture for him, right? And not just the money, but like, you, where do you want to go? Oh, great quarterback system, I know.
Yeah.
Be a major target, $60 million or $40 million guaranteed.
Yeah, great for Mike Williams. Great for Justin Herbert.
Great for fantasy.
Great
for
Russell Wilson and everyone in the division. Yay. More points, please.
And Lions, they made their big splash, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Reynolds, 2 years, $12 million.
Whew, they did it. They done did it. They got their wide receiver fixed. There have been a lot of reports lately that they are preparing to go hard after wide receivers, whether that's first round capital at the wide receiver position or in free agency. So that would obviously ding the value of Amon-Ra St. Brown if they were to go out and make a splashy, you know, trade for a big name guy or spend another first round high capital. Amon-Ra, who right now seems like, oh man, he might be a superstar, he might not.
I can't help but think they're making a splash at the wide receiver position.
Oh yeah, I think they will. Jared Goff's contract says that bringing in a quarterback this year might not be the best time.
Any other news that I skipped over? A lot happening, maybe even more by the time you're listening to this. So if there is more news, we'll cover it on the next episode. But anything else that I'm forgetting, Brooksy?
Nothing yet.
Okay, you guys want to jump into the mailbag?
Yes.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Yeah. So smooth. All right, if you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. There's a submit a question button. You can also send us a voicemail question, 302-464-TFFB. Let's begin with a voicemail.
Hey, ballers. I'm changing my redraft league into a keeper league. I was curious on what you guys thought as to how to easily do that, especially from a rules perspective. Appreciate it. Love the show.
So I'll jump in for a second. Ideally, when you're going to do this, it's nice for the league to know a year in advance. So if this is more of a message to other leagues that aren't doing it actively. Like, if you have that as a plan, announce it now if you're going to do it next offseason, because it may change the transactions and the rosters that your teams have and maintain during the year. That being said, do you have any tips on an approach for the transition right now if he's going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, if you are transitioning, it should be pretty straightforward, right? There's several different ways to start a keeper league. You can have it just be like our keeper league. Our main league of record is a keeper, and we keep three total players every year. We franchise one player, and then we get to pick three others from a different position that all go into a lottery, and we lose one of them at random. And then the draft is just from there. I think the majority of keeper leagues, you're going to have it be you keep a player for the cost of where you drafted them, and if you keep them a year after that, it costs more. So it's just a matter of you and your league deciding what kind of rules you want to have, and then you just implement it.
We do have an article up on thefantasyfootballers.com written by Jeff Peepy Pants Greenwood. Yes. So you can go check that out. It's all about, you know, changing a redraft into a keeper.
That's such a good proper nickname.
Well, that's his.
He's known as that.
Oh, yeah. I know. He's peed his pants so many times, but he did a much better job on the article.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the article's better than the nickname.
And it's better than actually peeing in your pants.
Yeah. Which he will do when we play pickleball against him. All right. Instagram question. What is Travis Kelce's dynasty trade value?
Oh, man.
I mean, the clock is ticking.
Yeah. Travis Kelce is to me, the toughest dynasty decision right now.
I don't know if you knew this, but where he goes now, there is another person that follows him with a full-on clock. And you hear the ticking wherever he goes.
Yeah, and he just keeps dominating.
Yes.
But
the clock keeps getting closer.
Yes, it does.
Mike and I co-manage a dynasty team where we have Travis Kelce, one of the back-to-back champs.
Oh, I knew that was not going to get left. I mean, come on.
Champ going champ.
Yeah, champ, champ.
And I mean, I have tried to get rid of Kelce. Not get rid of him, but I am trying to
get fair value for a 32-year-old tight end.
Yes. If you can flip a Travis Kelce into either a Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts, you're gonna have to pay more. It's not you're not gonna be able to trade them straight across. But if you can take Travis Kelce plus another piece or a draft pick and go to Mark Andrews, I would do that in a heartbeat, because you're not going to have this level of elite production in future years. Maybe you get it one more year, but even the greats, Tony Gonzalez, who played and was great for far past age 32, that was still the drop-off year, and I don't think you just don't want to hold the bag once it's dropped off. And it hasn't dropped off at all yet. So try to get something for him now.
There have been four total top three tight end seasons put up by a tight end who's 33 or older. So like Travis Kelce is an outlier. So let you can start with that it would not surprise me if Travis Kelce with Patrick Mahomes at 33 and 34 is still a very viable fantasy tight end. It would surprise me if he's still like the number one or number two. So it's, you got to make that decision right now of, are you in a win now mode? Because if you're in a win now mode, Travis Kelce is an ultimate advantage for your dynasty squad. But it's such a tough call of when to trade him.
Let me explain my train of thought that I just went through that left me laughing when you were talking about that. Very astutely, might I add. I wanted to come here and say, well, let's think about the contribution Rob Gronkowski made. And is there a world where that's the transitional type of universe for Kelce, where you are still winning the position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked up how old Rob Gronkowski is and discovered that he is very much the same age as Travis Kelce. They are mere months apart. So, which shocked me, because I think you look at Gronk and maybe it has to do with looking like you're a robot running down the field.
Because he goes into the football field with a full suit of armor?
Yeah. Also because he already retired years ago?
But to think about that is, I wanted to come and say, well, look at Gronk. I mean, he at 36 right. or 37, at 37, look at the impact he made.
Oh, busted. And then,
Ah, oh, busted. It's and me. I'm 32-year-old Rob Gronkowski.
He's 32, and he retired to not be a Detroit Lion. So it just, at your point about how many seasons like that have happened, you said four seasons. I wonder how many of them are Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, because.
Yeah, they are. And Tony Gonzalez, when he was a top three tight end, it wasn't special. It was just enough volume. But, you know, he's not going to dominate forever. It's just, they're still human beings. The body gets older.
Ain't that the truth? Just ask Al. Let's go to another voicemail.
What's up, ballers? This is Reese from up in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Oh, bonjour.
A question for you. Keeping two out of these three running backs, Antonio Gibson, J.K. Dobbins, and David Montgomery. Let me know which two to keep. Love the show. Thanks.
That's a tough question. Very. And we didn't talk about Gibson and any fallout there from Carson Wentz.
I think it's pretty neutral, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree it's neutral, if not better. I think
I could go the other way.
You think it could be worse to have Carson Wentz?
I think it could be worse because of capability at the position to throw the ball more and not have to lean on Gibson and not be afraid. Look, Heinicke was a 20-touchdown, 15-interception guy. Wentz doesn't throw a lot of picks, so how much of the game, you know, that's just the train of thought I went into.
Yeah, I mean, I get saying like, oh, we can throw the ball more. We don't have to rely on the run. But that just means your offense is better, more scoring opportunities. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor was pretty good with Wentz.
Granted, you heard it here first. Jonathan Gibson is Jonathan Taylor.
I tried to cut you
in
off.
In Washington.
Tried to get ahead of that one. But
even I will not say that.
But I mean,
so who do you hold here? I mean, it's hard because Dobbins is a real wild card.
Well, and I feel like Gibson is a wild card just because of the question mark of will they add another running back? There's been reports or rumors that they, you know, might want to add another important running back piece there. To me, Monty is in. David Montgomery, I think he's been solid. There's no reason to suspect that he won't continue to be good. So he's my locked-in guy. And if you have to make this decision now, which if you don't. Wait until after the NFL draft and free agency. That will give you a lot more clarity between Gibson and Dobbins. But if you have to make it now, I'm going to go Gibson.
I'm going to take the volume of Antonio Gibson. Of what Dobbins coming off the ACL, he should be, you know, as recovered as you could possibly be. Yeah, but Gus Edwards is still there. Lamar Jackson is still prolific at the goal line, so I would side with the volume for the other two guys.
And don't forget the practice field. I mean, that's a big consideration for J.K. Dobbins. Instagram question from Buckeye60 says, should I trade Kelsey now in Dynasty?
Oh, look at this.
Well, so that we answered that question.
Yes.
That question was...
That's on me for not noticing that question was a follow-up.
To be fair, it is a question that was bracketed with the other one with a highlight that says...
that's not a bracket, Mike. I'm not going to give it a bracket.
Yeah, I think I lean Mike's side here.
Oh, no, it's on me. I admit it. It's on me.
Yeah. But anyways, there was also a highlight of saying multiple people asking about Travis Kelce.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Twitter, Thomas. Do I have permission to ask this question, Brooks?
Only yes, if you haven't asked this one yet.
Okay, what's the highest rookie pick you would trade for Kareem Hunt?
Ooh.
That's really interesting.
110?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it is probably a back end first. My first thought was the 201, right? Like, okay, I'll trade a second rounder for him. But then when push comes to shove, and I'm at the back of the first in a not necessarily loaded draft class, there's
interesting players.
Yes, and I think there's about, you know, 6 to 8 really interesting players depending on how the draft landing spots go. But the end of that first round, 9, 10, 11, 12, Kareem Hunt was dominating before he got injured last year. Kareem Hunt is a great football player.
He will be turning 27 this year.
Yeah, he is a little bit older, but you know that Kareem Hunt is going to be useful and valuable. He is the safer option, not the ceiling option, right? If you land and hit on a running back in the rookie draft, well, great. He's going to have a lot more value than Kareem Hunt going forward. But at the back of the first, there's this year's running backs. Like, if you're trading for Kareem Hunt, I'm going to presume you need a running back. And this year's running backs, there's really three running backs that are really good. They're not getting to you at the 110. And if you're going to reach for a running back there, there's not a running back in this draft class that I can imagine at the end of the first that I would rather have over Kareem Hunt.
So what's the line for you?
I'm going to go 9. I'm going to go 109.
I can dig it. I'll go 109.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow, man. You're brilliant.
I don't hate it, but like after the draft, you could see multiple guys drafted on day 2.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, there's
Tampa.
These are some good shots at a running back at the back of the first.
You guys have any thoughts on Kelsey's dynasty value or anything like that?
32-year-old Travis Kelce?
32.
Did you know he's the same age as Gronk?
Here's a good one. Twitter, Warren wants to know, what are your thoughts on Darnell Mooney? A lot of rumors on the free agency show of, you know, whether it's Christian Kirk or an Amari Cooper trade. Somebody, maybe it's a draft, they're going to get another weapon to replace Allen Robinson somehow, some way, to help Justin Fields, right? They have to do it.
Yes.
Mooney is a lot, I think he's a lot like Amon-Ra St. Brown in that they're not likely the prototypical numero uno, right? They can be a very impactful, like 1A, 1B situation, but I don't know if I see Mooney as much as I love him, former my guy, being everything there.
Yeah, he's such a talented guy, but at his size, it's really, you know, he reminds me of like a John Brown back in the day.
Yeah.
Where John Brown had his had value to fantasy, but that's not, you know, that's not the end-all, be-all. He's not a dominator. I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver one type, because I don't think he's going to have massive amounts of volume. He's not going to be a 150-target guy.
He was a 140-target guy this last season.
Yeah, but this last season was like there were no other options. Allen Robinson was on his last leg, or they were not going to him. And so if it goes into the season where it's this receiving core, sure. But, I mean, like we've been predicting and most people have, I have to imagine they're going to go hard after wide receiver because they just – I mean, what's their depth chart right now? Like, Allen Robinson's gone, so it's Darnell Mooney, and then
– Well, he could – I mean, his pace from the bye week, I don't know if you guys realize this.
His second half was great.
172 target pace.
Yes. They really turned the offense to him. I love Mooney. I think – Looking at it though,
is he a buy for you in Dynasty?
Yes, yeah, I would go.
Would you
after
wait
him.
For them to sign somebody and then go get him?
If you think that free agent acquisition will devalue him a little bit in just terms of his like perceived stock, I agree that I don't think Mooney is a classic number one wide receiver, but him being a 1B and my belief in Justin Fields. I believe Fields will progress and become one of the better franchise quarterbacks in the league in the next few years.
If they picked up Amari Cooper, for example, is that a situation where you would take the better draft value of Mooney? Because he would certainly go behind Cooper in a draft. Is that kind of how you would see that?
Probably. It depends where Cooper's going, though.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, looking at the other target options there from last year, it was Marquise Goodwin, Damir Bird, Jimmy Graham.
You kind of said Damir Bird's name a little bit more disrespectfully than I thought.
Yeah,
you
no, could. I think it was perfectly said.
I mean, their wide receivers are free agents.
Yeah, they don't have
Mooney, Daz Newsom.
So like right now, it seems like Mooney can be a 200 target guy, but there's just no way that they don't go hard after this position in the draft and free agency. Obviously, if it's the draft. Like, if they go and they spend a first-rounder on a wide receiver.
They don't have a first.
Oh,
they do not.
No, that's right.
Because of the Fields trade.
So, you know, a second. They go and
spend
their.
They don't have a. No, do they have a second-round pick this year?
Yes.
Okay, we've got it, yes.
You know, and that's how they approach it? Well, then Mooney will be phenomenal. But if they go and get someone like an Amari Cooper. I mean, I guess the reality is there's not a lot of options.
Well, Mike is making the point that he has a confidence in Justin Fields, which translates into long-term confidence in Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a gauge of your acquisition prowess in a dynasty league.
Yeah.
Where if you have confidence in the Fields development, then you are buying low. It would almost be like getting Mike Williams a year before Herbert ascended him.
Yeah, but walking through this, really talking about Darnell Mooney and thinking about the situations, yeah, Amari Cooper, assuming he's a free agent, would be very bad for him. But who else is there?
Christian Kirk.
I mean, if Christian Kirk comes, I'm very happy with Darnell Mooney.
Kirk's not a number one type of player either. He's a complimentary, a good.
So maybe
two
I'm
guy.
Higher on Mooney than I thought I was, just because of the options that present themselves to the Bears this offseason. Say that Darnell Mooney needs to be.
What if they re-sign Damir Bird?
Then they've made a bad decision.
That is going to do it for the Fantasy Footballers. You can subscribe over on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. And this is your last chance to get the UDK with a shot at the Listener League at UltimateDraftKit.com.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.